नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्वेतगदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम दी Of course, we did complete the 11th chapter last week. So today, Krishna willing, we will start the 12th chapter. So we saw that Krishna, at the request of Arjuna, showed him the form of Mahavishnu, where he holds the millions of universes in his body. And he also showed the Kala Rupa. After showing that Kala Rupa, Arjuna got really disturbed and, scared. And then he offered his prayers. And then Arjuna said, "Well, I am very delighted having seen what was unseen before, Adrishta Purvam, Drishtva Hrishitosmyaham. My dear Lord, I am very grateful that you showed me a form which you had not shown to anyone. But at the same time, bhayena cha pravyatitam mano me. At the same time, my mind is greatly troubled with fear. My dear Lord, tadeva me darshaya rupam. Please show me your pleasing form. Please be kind to me, O Lord of the Devatas, the resting place of the universe. किरीटिनम गदिनम चक्रहस्तम इच्छामि त्वाम द्रष्टुमहं तथैव तेनैव रूपेण चतुर्भुजेन सहस्रभावो भव विश्वमूर्ते। माय डियर लॉर्ड, इफ एट ऑल यू वांट टू शो मी अ फॉर्म ऑफ ऑपुलेंस, व्हाई डोंट यू शो मी द फॉर्म ऑफ योर योर 400 वासुदेव फॉर्म। यू शो मी दैट फॉर्म, दैट इज एन ऑपुलेंट फॉर्म, वेयरिंग अ किरीटा, होल्डिंग अ चक्र, but not this form, the Kala Rupa or the form of Mahavishnu. That is so scary. If at all you want to, you don't want to immediately show that sweet 200 form of yours, but if you want to just, if at all you want to show me a form which displays opulence, show me the 400 form, but not this. Not this Sahasra Shirsha Purusha form. I don't want to see this form. The Lord said, Maya prasannena tavarjunedam rupam param darshitam atmayogar tejomayam vishvam anantam adyam yanme tvadanyena na drishtapurvam. Being pleased with you, Arjuna, I have shown this brilliant, infinite, original form of the universe, the form of Mahavishnu. Which has never been seen by anyone except you, by my own yoga maya. Not by the study of the Vedas, by sacrifice, by the recital of scriptures, charities, etc., can this form be seen in this world. It cannot be seen by anyone except you, O hero of the Kurus. Please do not be disturbed, do not get bewildered on having seen that terrifying form of mine, devoid of fear and pleased in my mind. See again this form of mine that you have requested to see. Tad eva me rupam idam prapashya. So therefore, he says, the Lord speaks this verse in a comforting mood to Arjuna, who is distressed in the above manner. So the Lord says, okay, please take a look at this 400 form that you have asked me to see. So Sanjaya says, having spoken to Arjuna thus, Vasudev showed him his personal 400 form again. Then, again appearing in his pleasant 200 form, Krishna gave comfort to fearful Arjuna. Because Krishna knew that even though Arjuna asked to show the 400 form, thinking that maybe Krishna wants to show me his splendor, his Aishwarya, but he really wanted to, that's why he asked, okay, if at all you want to show Aishwarya, show the Aishwarya through the 400 form, not this Vishwarupa. I don't want to see this Vishwarupa. like that. But then he says that, okay, but Arjuna really wanted to see the 200 Saumya Rupa only. So Krishna knew it. So he briefly responded to Arjuna's verbal request, which was to show the 400 form. And then he actually responded to Krishna's request within the heart, which was to show the 200 Saumya Rupa. So he showed that 200 Saumya Rupa to Arjuna. Okay. So then Arjuna said, Drishtvedam Manusham Rupam Tava Saumyam Janardana Idanim Asmi Samvrittaha Sacheta Prakritim Gatah. O Janardana, Drishtva Tava Idam Saumyam Manusham Rupam, seeing this very pleasant human form of yours, Idanim Sacheta Prakritim Gatah, I have regained my original consciousness finally. Finally, I have regained my consciousness. And have gained composure. Thank you, my dear Lord. Then the Lord responded, Sudurdarsham idam rupam drishtavanasiyan mama devapi asya rupasya nityam darshanakankshinah. This form of mine which you have seen is very difficult to see. Even the devatas are always eager to see this form. So, of course, he is now talking about Vishwarupa. He says that this form of Vishwarupa that you have seen is very difficult to see. It's not very easy to see. Even the devatas desire to see this form. So, but he says that, but I gave you the Divya Chakshu, the divine eyes to see this form, but I did not give you a divine mind by which but you have not given me a divine mind by which one could relish the sweetness of my human form. Sorry, of this Vishwarupa. So therefore, he was very disturbed. Naham Vedair na tapasa na danena na cha ijyaya shakya evam vidho drashtum drishtavanasi mamyata. Not through the Vedas, not through austerities, not through charities, nor through performance of sacrifice is it possible to see me as you have seen me, O Arjuna. Bhaktya to ananyaya shakya aham evam vidho Arjuna gyatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. Even only by ananya bhakti can one become qualified to see even this Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa is not Virat Rupa. Vishwarupa is the form of Mahavishnu. Because it is a transcendental form, he says that only by Ananya Bhakti one can see this form. Aham evam vidoh tatvena gyatum drashtum praveshtum cha sakyah. It is possible to know me, see me, or even merge with me. Only by Ananya Bhakti. Like that, he says. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, even if one desires Nirvana Moksha, then one can merge with the Brahman only by Ananya Bhakti and by no other process. But of course, there that Ananya Bhakti is after the Jnana Sannyas, as we had discussed last time. After one reaches the stage of being a Jivan Mukta, then at that stage he gives up the limbs of Jnana. He does the Jnana Sannyas, and then by that practice of Jnana Sannyas, he attains Sahajya Mukti. Mat karma krit mat paramo mat bhakta sanga varjita nirvairah sarva bhuteshu yas samameti pandava. He who does work for me, who holds me as supreme, who is devoted to me without any materialistic association, devoid of hatred of any living being, he attains me, O Arjuna. So, Srila Vishnu Jagannatha Thakur says, in order to summarize the subject of bhakti, in this verse, the Lord speaks about the general characteristics of various types of devotees who are described starting in the seventh chapter. the general characteristics of the devotees, you know. Of the devotees means Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas and Shuddha Bhaktas. So that is the these are the general characteristics of the devotees who have at least bhakti as in a predominant manner, either pure bhakti or predominant bhakti. And Sangha Varjitaha means devoid of material attachment. Arjuna understood that his victory on the battlefield was dependent on the great powers of Krishna alone. So this is the meaning of this chapter. So through this chapter, one of the things that Arjuna understood is, okay, I am going to, anyways, the victory is guaranteed. That guarantee has been given by Krishna. So this is where we ended our 11th chapter discussion last week. Before we start the 12th chapter today, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as had, based on whatever we have discussed in this 11th chapter, we can take before we move on to the 12th chapter. Yes, Shubhangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, ma'am.
Dhanyavad Pranam. My question is, so by showing the Vishwarupa, does that establish that Sri Krishna is the personality of Godhead and no one else?
I am trying to understand your question. What I heard what you said, but I did not exactly understand what you mean by that. Can you?
Means only the personality of the Godhead has that Vishwarupa where everything, all the cosmic manifestation is inside him. There is no beginning, there is no end, there is no middle, and he is the causes of cause. When somebody says that, there are so many philosophies, right, that our God is the personality of Godhead. There is so much argument is there. Shaivism is there. So many different cults are there. But now, just from this point that, you know, Krishna can show the Vishwarupa, can we say that that this is the reason that we say that he is the personality of the Godhead, supreme personality of the Godhead?
Well, we can say that at least this is one thing. Others, now Lord Ramachandra did not show the Vishwarupa. So does it mean he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Is the incarnation, right?
Yeah, then actual the form is the Vishwarupa is the form of Mahavishnu. So if you say that, then Mahavishnu should be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually, isn't it? So yeah, Prabhupada does make this argument that, oh, if you say you are God, then show me the Vishwaroop, like that Prabhupada says. But the point is that Vishwaroop, even if Krishna says, Krishna showed it. But Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, only you are seeing it. Others could not even see that form. So, even if Krishna shows, one should have the qualification to see it also. And of course, that Vishwarup form is the form of Mahavishnu. And it is actually compared to the form of Krishna, the 200 form of Krishna, that form of Mahavishnu is considered to be an inferior form actually. So to say that the one who shows that Vishwaroop is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's nothing wrong with that, but that does not make Krishna's 200 form inferior. Actually, Krishna's 200 form is superior to that form of Vishwaroopa, like that. Is that okay, Mate?
Okay, Prabhuji. But
I'm sorry, I muted you. You can speak, Mate.
Prabhuji, if nobody had seen that Vishwarup form before, then how come Arjuna thought of asking it if it was never there in the history? How did he came to know about that term also?
He didn't use the term Vishwaroop actually. In fact, that term Vishwaroop is not used in Bhagavad Gita only. The word that is used is Vishwamurte. Like that word is used, but Vishwaroop is not used. Because, but Krishna says, Vishtavyaham idam kritsnam ekamshena stito jagat. In the end of the 10th chapter, he says that I sustain this universe in one very insignificant portion of mine. So, hearing that, Arjuna wants to know what is that form in which you sustain this whole universe or the many universes. So, because you told, so he did not exactly say that of the Vishwaroop, but he said that what he said that in one expansion of mine, I sustain this whole universe. And Arjuna says, oh, in which form is that? Can I see that form? Like that. So then he shows the form of Mahavishnu, like that.
So Vyasadeva, you want to say he kept that name, universal form of Vishwaroop.
Because, yeah, Vishwaroop is a commonly used name, but it is not exactly there in that name in itself is not there in Bhagavad Gita, but it is commonly understood name. Vishwaroop means the form of the Lord where he is holding the universes in his body. That is Vishwaroop, the form of Mahavishnu.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Does Lord Ram also is he capable of showing Vishwaroop and other avatars of Krishna? I mean, it's not about capability. If ultimately it is one personality only. If they want, they can show. That's not a big problem at all. So, yeah, if Lord Ramachandra wants to show the Vishwaroop or manifest the Vishwaroop. Yeah, that is possible. Why not? That's not a problem at all. Okay. So, if there are no further discussion points, comments, or questions, so let us move on to the next chapter, which is the last of the six chapters, last of the six middle chapters which describe about bhakti. So we are going to start the last chapter now, which is the 12th chapter. Of course, not last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, last of the middle six chapters. That's what we are going to start now. So this chapter is titled as Bhakti Yoga or Devotional Service. Okay. So we are going to discuss this. Let us start. Arjuna starts this chapter. But why does he speak like this? Let us, for a brief moment, touch the purport and then come back to the verse. In the 12th chapter, the superiority of all types of devotees to the jnanis is described. And amongst the devotees, those who are endowed with wonderful qualities like lack of hatred, they are praised in this chapter. Bhaktaste ativa me priyah, yo me bhakta same priyah. Like that, Krishna glorifies those devotees who show those kind of qualities. Okay, so in the 12th chapter, the superiority of the devotees over the impersonalists or the jnanis that is described here. So Arjuna heard the great superiority of bhakti at the beginning of the topic of bhakti in the following words. Which was the first verse where Krishna very categorically glorified bhakti over the other processes? Anyone knows? Anyone remembers? Anyone remembers? Can you go to the chat box and type and let me know? 6.47, correct, perfect answer. Yes, Sri Vidya Mataji also has said, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana, Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam same yukta tamo mata. Perfect. But I consider that he who worships me with faith, with mind attached to me, to be greater than all types of yogis. Arjuna, desiring to hear about the superiority of bhakti, even if it is in summary, asks a question. Why is bhakti considered so superior? You mentioned bhakti is very superior, but why is this bhakti considered very superior and how? How is bhakti superior? He is asking this question. So he's asking, Arjuna uvacha, evam satata yukta ye bhaktas tvam paryupasate, ye chapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Who are the best knowers of yogas? Ye bhaktaha, those devotees, tvam evam paryupasate, who worship you as you just described. Mat karma krit mat paramo mat bhakta sangha varjita. You know, like that he had described the practice of the devotees in the last verse of the 11th chapter. So evam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Who are the best knowers of yoga? Are they the devotees Vam evam paripasate, who worship you as you have just described, satata yukta, with a desire to constantly associate with you, or yecha api aksharam avyaktam, or those who worship the unmanifest Brahman? Who is the best? You know, who are the best of the yogis? Are they the one who worship you in your impersonal feature, or are they the one who worship you your personal form, as you have mentioned in the towards the end of the 11th chapter? So who are the best knowers of yoga? So the devotee is described as being constantly engaged. Worship you as Shyama Sundar mentioned at the end of the last chapter with Mat Karma Krit Mat Parama. And others worship the Brahman with no qualities. Avyakta means Nirvishesha. Described in the Shrutis with statements such as Etadvaitad Aksharam Gargi Brahmana Abhivadanti Astulam Ananu Ahrasvam. O Gargi, that akshara which is not wide, not small, and not short is called Brahman, says Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Among these two types of persons who know yoga, who are the best knowers of yoga? Who know the best process of attaining you? Or do they not know the process of attaining you? Tesham ke yoga vittama. Who are the best? Are they the devotees who worship you, as you had mentioned previously, or are they the impersonalists who worship your impersonal feature? Please tell who are the best. In a comparison involving two items, usually the form yoga vittara, which of the two types of yoga, two types know yoga better, would be used. The word yoga vittama should be used to suggest that among the better of the two types of knowers of yoga, who are the best knowers of yoga? Among the better of the two types of knowers of yoga, who are the best knowers of yoga? Oh. So there are three yogis, right? Karma yogi, Jnana Yogi and Bhakti Yogi. Okay. Of the three, Karma Yogi is inferior, Jnana and Bhakti Yogis are better. Okay, so they are of the two. You can, whenever you are comparing two things, of the two, you always ask of the two, which is better. You don't say of the two, which is best. Okay, this is generally not used. So he says, of the two, which is better? You should say, Tesham ke yoga vittara. It should not be Tesham ke yoga vittama. So, but of the three, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana and Ashtanga Yoga, sorry, Jnana and Bhakti Yoga are better, yoga vittara. So now, of the two yoga vittaras, which is yoga vittama, of the two which fall within the better category, of the two, which is the best? Okay, that is why it is mentioned like this. So that's what Arjuna is asking. Evam satatayukta ye bhaktastvam paryupasate yechapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. O Krishna, who are the best knowers of yogas? Are they the devotees who worship you as you have mentioned before? Or are they, or is it those jnana yogis who worship the unmanifest Brahman? Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Yes, Shubhangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I have one question that because Paramatma is a partial presentation compared to Brahman, it is better, right? And seeing that Ashtanga Yoga is practiced so majority, we see that many are practicing Ashtanga Yoga more than the Bhakti Yoga and the Jnana Yoga. So this comparison why of Paramatma was not made.
Well, actually, it is, you have, I think you have joined our sessions quite late because we have discussed these things in great detail in the earlier chapters. Actually, the Ashtanga Yogis, the Jnana Yogis, all of them, they have to, okay, one protocol we will follow. Whoever asks the question, you can stay unmuted till the question is answered, because there may be some follow-up questions also. We cannot keep unmuting again and again. So once you ask a question, you can stay unmuted till the question is answered. So whether it's an Ashtanga Yogi or a Jnana Yogi, both of them fall in the same category. Both of them, their goal is to merge in the impersonal Brahman. And both of them, for attaining that, they have to realize the Paramatma feature. So, Paramatma realization is needed for both. And they merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So, in one sense, actually, there is no difference between the Jnana Yogi and the Ashtanga Yogi. The only difference is that in Ashtanga Yoga, there is predominance of the limbs of the Ashtanga process. And in Jnana Yoga, there is a predominance of the limbs of the Jnana Yoga process. But otherwise, the practice of Jnana Yoga in the initial stages involves Nishkama Karma Yoga, and it involves Bhakti Yoga. It involves some limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, but it predominantly involves the limbs of Jnana Yoga. And Ashtanga Yoga, in the initial stages, it involves some Nishkama Karma Yoga, and later it involves some elements of Jnana, some elements of Bhakti, along with predominant limbs of Yoga. And both this Jnana Yogi and Ashtanga Yogi, they actually do realize the Paramatma within the heart. And eventually, both of them aspire to merge within the impersonal Brahma Jyoti.
Oh, this I didn't know, Prabhuji. So both of their goal is the same, परमात्मा
That is,
रियलाइजेशन एंड मर्जिंग इन टू द ब्रह्मन.
या
ओके प्रभु, थैंक यू.
ओके. अनदर क्वेश्चन इन द चैट बॉक्स. काइंडली रिपीट विच आर द टू बेटर प्रोसेसेस इन कंपैरिजन टू कर्म योगा. भक्ति एंड ज्ञान आर बेटर. योग वित्तरा, योग वित्तरा. एंड ऑफ द टू बेटर प्रोसेसेस ज्ञान एंड भक्ति विच इज योग विद तमा, हु इज द बेस्ट. दैट इज वाई हियर तेषाम के योग विद तमा इज यूज. अदरवाइज द नॉर्मल प्रैक्टिस इज ऑफ द टू विच इज बेटर. तेषाम के योग विद तरा शुड बी देयर, बट बिकॉज हियर ही इज comparing the two of the better processes, which is jnana and bhakti, therefore he is using the word yoga with tama and not yoga with tara, like that. Okay, if there are no further discussion points, let us continue. Krishna starts answering these questions. श्री भगवान उवाच मय्यावेश्य मनो ये माम नित्ययुक्ता उपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेतास्ते मे युक्ततमा मताः. मे मताः, इन माय ओपिनियन आई कंसिडर ये माम उपासते, दोसु वर्शिप मी नित्ययुक्ता विथ अ डिजायर टू असोसिएट विथ मी कॉन्स्टेंटली. मई आवेश मन वाइल अब्जॉर्बिंग देर माइंड्स इन मी श्रद्धया परया उपेता एंडोर्ड विथ फेथ विच इज बियॉन्ड द गुणास ते दोज पीपल युक्त तमा टू बी द बेस्ट नोवर्स ऑफ योगा. सो नाउ ही इज डायरेक्टली आंसरिंग दिस क्वेश्चन. सो व्हाट इज कृष्णस आंसर? ही सेज मे मता, इन माई ओपिनियन ओ अर्जुना, ये माम उपासते दोसु वर्शिप मी नित्य युक्ता विथ अ डिजायर टू असोसिएट विथ मी कॉन्स्टेंटली. मई आवेश्य मन विथ वाइल अब्जॉर्बिंग देयर माइंड इन मी श्रद्धया परया उपेता एंडोर्ड विथ अ फेथ विच इज बियॉन्ड द थ्री गुणास ते युक्ततमा दे आर द बेस्ट नोवर्स ऑफ योगा. ही सेज ये माम उपासते, माम रेफर्स टू कृष्णा, उपासते रेफर्स टू अनुशीलनम. ओके, डिजायरिंग टू असोसिएट विथ मी कॉन्स्टेंटली, दिस एक्चुअली रेफर्स टू द गोल इज प्रेमा, विद द गोल ऑफ प्रेमा. सो विच मीन्स दिस ऑल्सो इंडिकेट्स अन्याभिलाषिता शून्य. अब्सॉर्बिंग देयर माइंड्स इन मी, दिस ऑल्सो इंडिकेट्स अन्याभिलाषिता शून्य. एंड ऑल्सो ज्ञान कर्मादि अनावृतम. And Shraddhaya Paraya Upetaha, possessing a faith which is beyond the three gunas. Only pure devotional faith is beyond the three gunas. Okay. So this indicates, you can say, of course, this indicates Anyabhilashita Shunyam and Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam, but you can say this is Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. Okay. So he is telling, of the two processes, what is the best? Shuddha Bhakti is the best. Okay. Not only one who worships my personal form, but one who worships my personal form with a desire to become my eternal associate. Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. He is the best. That's what he says. Among them, my devotees are the best. Those who absorb their minds in me, Shyama Sundar, those who desire to be constantly united with me, with faith which is beyond the gunas, they, my Ananya Bhaktas, are the best knowers of yoga. Teme Yukta Tama Mata. Like that, he is indicating here. Concerning faith, it is said, Sattviki Adhyatmiki Shraddha, Karma Shraddha to Rajasi, Tamasi Adharme Ya Shraddha, Mat Sevayam to Nirguna. In the 11th canto, Krishna tells Uddhava, Sattviki Adhyatmiki Shraddha, a generic faith in towards spiritual life. Faith directed towards spiritual life is adhyatmiki, is sattviki. So, if someone is inclined to spirituality, that does not necessarily mean that their faith is transcendental. Okay? Only if that inclination is towards pure devotional service, only then one can say that faith is transcendental. Sattviki Adhyatmiki Shraddha, Karma Shraddha to Rajasi. Faith rooted in fruitive work is in the mode of passion. Tamasi Adharme Ya Shraddha. Faith residing in irreligious activities is in the mode of ignorance. Mat Sevayam Tanirguna. But faith in my devotional service is purely transcendental. So, Shraddhaya Paraya Upetaha. Possessing a faith which is beyond the three gunas means that faith should be pure devotional. Mat sevayam tinirguna. Okay, like that. From this, it should be inferred that inferior to these Ananya Bhaktas are those having bhakti mixed with jnana, karma, and the other processes who are called as yoga vittara. So, yoga vittara are those who have mixed devotional faith. Faith which is devotional faith which is mixed with karma, jnana, or yoga. Thus, it is shown here that bhakti is better than jnana and that amongst the types of bhakti, ananya bhakti is the best. Bhakti is better than jnana and amongst bhakti, so bhakti means either pradhani bhuta or Mishra Bhakti, amongst the two, Shuddha Bhakti is superior to Mishra Bhakti. That's what he is indicating here. So, in one verse, very clearly and in a very straightforward way, Krishna answers this question, who is the best? Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as that before we move forward? Yes, Kesho Priya Mataji.
Prabhuji, again you will say the same answer, but there are many
Okay, I will
clear.
tell the question which you are going to ask.
Yes, Prabhuji.
When Krishna has so clearly mentioned it
Yes.
here, how will people who read this Bhagavad Gita ever want to worship, take up to the path of jnana or yoga or karma, etc., etc., etc.?
Yes, Prabhuji. The previous question is very clear. Arjuna is asking this or that, and for the question straightforwardly, Krishna has answered this, Prabhuji. So it is not something like it is not generally. It is asked generally. It is answered. The question was asked specifically, and the answer is also given specifically here, Prabhuji.
Okay.
But still, why?
But this question, which is asked by Arjuna and which is answered by Krishna, may not be necessarily accepted by them as a very foundational critical question. Like we say that the Paribhasha Sutra of Bhagavad Gita or the essential conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru or Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. They may not feel like that. They may not come to such a conclusion, right? So yes, Bhagavad Gita is definitely conclusively pure devotional, but it needs a particular level of faith and sukriti to actually decode it. It is not so straightforward. So
those people are good at Shastra also, no? They are not lesser, like they
good.
Also
good means what?
No, Prabhuji, in understanding Sanskrit, I mean, they're not lesser in in reading Shastras.
It is not like that. It is not like that. If someone is very good in reading English, can they understand physics, PhD level physics, which is given in English?
Yeah, but here
but
the
they know
question
English,
is
right?
straight question, Prabhuji.
No,
That is why I'm asking.
No, that is because you are thinking physics needs intelligence, but bhakti does not need any kind of intelligence. It is just linguistic knowledge that is sufficient. It is not like that. So, so because we are naive, you know, a very naive person will think that, oh, it is written in Sanskrit only. They know Sanskrit. Why can't they understand? No, because it is not just Sanskrit. It is something much more than that. So, if someone thinks that, oh, he is such a big scholar, but that does not mean that scholar, he is scholar in what? He is scholar in what? He may be linguistically very well endowed, but that does not mean anything. Where in Bhagavad Gita one place or Bhagavatam one place where Krishna says one who is extraordinarily endowed in Sanskrit, he can understand it.
No.
He says, Bhaktyamam abhijanati, he says. So if someone lacks that Bhaktyonmukhi Sukriti, then he will see the same thing in a different way than what we see. So, so therefore, even though it may be so clear, but they may not necessarily read it in this way. They may not necessarily read it in this way. It may not, for example, he says, I will just give you a small example. Shraddhaya paraya upetaha. That is the exact Sanskrit word that is used. Shraddhaya paraya. Shraddhaya paraya is translated here by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as faith which is beyond three modes. But Shraddhaya paraya, literally, if you translate it in another way, it could just mean faith which is superior. Okay, that can be taken by them to be to mean something else also.
Prabhuji, that is okay. Then what about my aveshya mana? It is very clear now, Prabhuji. That cannot be interpreted in different way. That is the
there
point.
Are many places. No, no, it is not like that.
Mayaveshya
mana can also mean, you know, can mean the impersonal feature of Krishna. In some cases, Krishna uses the word mayi to indicate his impersonal feature also. So which according to Vaishnava Acharyas, actually, they explain it that way. So, so therefore, Sanskrit is such a sophisticated language that it allows for multiple understandings based on the faith of the person who tries to understand it. So, so that's why, you know, in fact, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam are even more direct than the language of Bhagavad Gita. Even Bhagavatam can be misinterpreted by those who do not have the right kind of faith.
Yes, Prince.
So, so why not Bhagavad Gita? So, we know whatever little Sanskrit we know is from Srila Prabhupada's word to word meaning only. And Prabhupada, because he has pure devotional faith, he gives only those meanings that are appropriate to bring out an explanation which is in line with the pure devotional conclusions. But that's not the only meaning. There are so many other meanings that are there. There are many, many places where the word dhamma, what is the meaning of dhamma?
Is it holy place?
Huh?
Parandama.
Dhamma. Dhamma means place, abode,
place.
Right?
Yes, Prabhuji, holy place.
But if you see, dhamma also means body, dhamma also means effulgence.
Okay.
In Sanskrit, there are so many meanings actually. So, but we know only one meaning that actually perfectly brings out the pure devotional conclusion. But it is not like that. There are other meanings which reasonably they can, without really stretching the scope of that Sanskrit language, they can come to conclusions which can be not so pure devotional. And the language allows. So one word has multiple meanings. So therefore, and also, you know, by taking the flow of logic, they can explain the whole flow of logic in a different way, so that you know, they can say that, oh, this is not the ultimate conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. They can do that. So, or even the devotional verses, they can explain it in such a way that it is not so devotional. So that is possible.
Ramji, another question is, what is the need of, like, the flow, trying to understand the flow of chapters, Prabhuji. What is the need to raise this question here, Prabhuji?
Because he has just concluded this chapter by
Ananya Bhakti.
By Ananya Bhakti.
Yeah.
So he wants to understand it very clearly, because definitely the Shastras do seem to describe that the absolute truth has form or no form. Both are indicated, whether the formless Brahman is superior or the Lord with form is superior. So wanting to put an end to this discussion in a very clear categorical way, because he has ended the chapter on the note of bhakti and worship. So therefore, Arjuna asked this question, because in such a direct way, neither has Krishna, treated this particular subject matter, nor Arjuna has asked this question in such a direct way. So
yes,
he is asking here.
Yes, right now. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Shubhangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, my question is that, like my previous generation and previous to all other, previous all the generation, they had so much, they were so much devotional actually, compared to our generation and the newer generation. Is it because of the modern education, or because of the Kali Yuga is becoming more and more prominent, that we are going away from Bhakti Yoga?
Well, you cannot exactly. How do you know that in the previous generations they were much more devotional than now?
That's what I have observed, Professor. I mean, all the villages, after their daily work, they used to gather in the temple. They used to do bhajan kirtan, and everyone was engaged in some devotional activities while doing any work also, like ladies especially. They used to sing all God's devotional songs. They used to sing. So like that, it was there, I mean, compared to now. Like now that people don't have even faith, But they were actually doing it, the previous generation. There was no question of God exists or not exists. Now it is there, whether God
It's
exists or
not
not,
like
like
that.
now we are
No,
asking.
no, 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 no. It is not like that. Even in Satya Yuga, there were atheistic people. It's not that, all these philosophies, Charvaka was there when the Charvaka philosophy was spoken by Lord Ramachandra, actually, just to kind of anger Bharata, in the Treta Yuga, So this Charvaka lived very, very in very early times. Ridam Kritva Gritam Pibet Yavat Jivet Sukham Jivet. Just that it was spoken in very nice Sanskrit language. We think that when it is spoken in Sanskrit, it must be very devotional or spiritual. But in the ancient days, even atheistic theories were presented in nice, sophisticated Sanskrit language only. So it's not necessary that, yeah, in previous generations, the Vedic culture was more nicely protected. But of course, in that also, there was lot of mixture of Mayavad and other such things. Yeah, in one sense, materialism has kind of pushed us behind. But now that we have come in touch with the devotees, we have started to learn devotional service. Now we don't have to live like what other people are doing now. We can improve our standards.
I mean, what I mean to say is the proportion of the atheistic people in the previous generation and the
No,
now,
no, no. No, no, no. I
it
don't
has
think so.
increased, I feel.
No. We don't have any statistical data to support it. I don't really think so. Maybe, may not be. I mean, this is a very random conclusion, I feel. Yeah. Of course, as the Kali Yuga progresses, the ability of people to comprehend spirituality and all that goes down, their interest in spirituality goes down. But statistically, can you say that in our previous generation, people were, there were more theistic people, now there are more atheistic people? I don't know. I cannot say that for sure. That's a very generic observation, I feel. Because sometimes people say that, in today's day and age, more people are coming to temples than in the last 100 years or so. Sometimes you hear such statistics also. So I cannot tell for sure whether that statistic is exactly correct or not. Maybe, may not be. I cannot tell for sure.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you.
Correct. Mohit Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yes.
Prabhuji, here Krishna is directly saying that bhakti is superior to jnana, and those who are jnana yogis, they will attain me after thousands of birth, and they will and their path is very difficult. And
he has not spoken that yet. That comes later only. He has not spoken it yet. We are still only in the second verse of this chapter. Now he has only told that the path of worshipping my personal form through the path of bhakti, endowed with faith which is beyond three modes, is better than worshipping me, worshipping my impersonal aspect. That's all he has told till now.
Okay, Prabhuji, in the first six chapter, like Krishna is saying that after this Jnana Yoga, there is nothing left. Jnana shlokas like Jnana Agni, there is nothing superior than this. And after knowing this, there is nothing left. So why Krishna was using such types of words in first six chapter, Prabhuji?
Well, which verse can you tell? In the fourth chapter, he does says, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Tatsvayam yoga samsiddhir kalena atmani vindati, he says. Well, that was just because he had just spoken only about karma till then. In the third chapter, he had spoken about karma. And of course, the knowledge which he is talking about in the fourth chapter also. Yeah, so that's just a comparison between karma and jnana. So
And
therefore,
Prabhuji, in the fifth or sixth chapter, Krishna said that there is nothing left after knowing this, and there is nothing, such type of words, Prabhuji, there is nothing left after knowing this, and there is no such knowledge greater than this. Gyan shloka, can you summarize one shloka like Gyana Agni? Do you know
ज्ञानाग्नि दग्ध
that
कर्माणां तमाहो पंडितं बुधाः इति से
Prabhuji, yes. What is the meaning of that verse, Prabhuji? ज्ञानाग्नि.
ज्ञानाग्नि दग्ध कर्माणां मीन्स बाय द पावर ऑफ द बाय द फायर ऑफ नॉलेज ऑल द कर्मास आर डिस्ट्रॉयड ही सेज बिकॉज़ इट
ओके
डिस्ट्रॉयज द कर्म.
ओके एंड इन द
सी
नेक्स्ट
एवरी एवरी
वर्स.
स्टेटमेंट, एवरी स्टेटमेंट हैज अ कॉन्टेक्स्ट. Okay, every statement has a context. So, because he had till now spoken only about karma, in comparison to karma, jnana is better. Therefore, he speaks about jnana in very high terms. But later, when he speaks about yoga, he says, oh, yoga is better than jnana. He says that.
Yes,
Huh?
Prabhuji, yes.
In And then, when introducing bhakti, he says, Yoginam api sarvesham adgate nantaratmana. Because he's systematically introducing different yogas. First, he introduces karma, and he presents karma to be better than living a materialistic life. Then, after that, when he introduces jnana, he says, jnana is the best because he has only spoken about karma and jnana. So compared to the two, jnana is the best. Later, when he introduces yoga, he says yoga is the best. Tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi, jnanibhyopi matodikah. He says, tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. That's why you should be a yogi. And then later, he introduces bhakti and he says bhakti is better than all these parts. Like that.
Okay, and Prabhuji, my last question, Prabhuji, when this Gyan Yogi suppose at the Jivan Mukta stage and they attain liberation, Gyan Sannyas, so and when they merge into Brahman Jyot, Brahman feature, impersonal Brahman feature of Bhagwan, so can they do bhakti there? And advance, if they want to do bhakti there, can they shift it to Golok Vrindavan Dham or Vaikuntha in future, मतलब गोलोक वृंदावन धाम इन फ्यूचर, इफ दे वांट टू डू भक्ति देयर, देयर इज ए फैसिलिटी, इज देयर फैसिलिटी ऑफ भक्ति इन इम्पर्सनल ब्रह्मन ज्योति आल्सो प्रभु.
It is not very conducive. There is no proper ambience, there is no proper association. It is not impossible, but it is not very probable also.
थैंक यू प्रभु. हरे कृष्ण.
Okay. There is always a gap between my bhakti practice and the pure devotional quotient present in these shlokas. Sometimes I feel my sincerity and seriousness is not adequate to match the expectations of the Lord. It appears like I go back by many steps each time due to influence of the modes while putting in my tiny efforts to grow in bhakti. It's disheartening at times with the weight of expectations on a bhakti practitioner. Well, Krishna, when he speaks about, okay, let us look at the verse. And if we and see if it is actually so disheartening, let us see if it is actually this so disheartening. Let us see. So he says, "Ye mam upasate, he who worships me." I am sure you must be worshipping Krishna. Okay, Nitya Yukta, desiring to associate with me constantly. I am sure that is your goal, right? Your ultimate goal is to not that he's not telling, associating with me constantly. He says, desiring to associate with me constantly. I am sure that is definitely something that you desire as a goal, right? And my Yaveshya Manaha, absorbing their minds in me. Here again, if you remember, we had discussed this absorption of mind in Krishna. It does not indicate every moment. It means periodically trying to think that I should do it for the pleasure of Krishna, like that. Shraddhaya paraye paraya upetaha, endowed with faith which is beyond three gunas. So even though we may have a swabhava which is still within the control of the three gunas, he is talking about faith which is beyond three gunas. So faith which is beyond three gunas means that I very clearly understand that my goal is to please Krishna, and the means to attain that goal is actually Navada Bhakti. That is pure devotional faith. So one may have pure devotional faith, but one may have a swabhava or a conditioned nature which is still within the three modes. So I don't see why this verse should actually be presenting a thing which is very difficult, disheartening. Actually, Krishna very clearly says, as Shivakumar Prabhu has rightly mentioned in this verse, can you please touch upon 20.7 and 11.20.7 and 8 in the context of the question topic being discussed? Jata Shraddho Matkatasu Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu Veda Dukkatmakam Kyaman Parityage Api Anishwarah Tato Bhajeta Mam Prita Shraddhalur Dhrida Nishchaya Jushamanascha Tan Kaman Dukkho Dakkamscha Garhayan. Right? He just says that, what am I expecting from you? Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. You have developed faith in hearing Krishna Katha, in performing Krishna Bhakti. Okay. Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu. And you don't have any attachment to the path of karma, jnana, yoga, etc. You have attachment only to the path of bhakti. Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman. You know that engagement in activities of sense gratification leads to suffering. But parityage api anishwarah, but you are not always able to say no to sense gratification. Okay. So he says that jushamanascha tan kaman dukkho darkamscha garhayan. And whenever you slip and fall to sense gratification, there is repentance. Oh, I should not have done this like that. So this is actually the position of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. So Krishna says, Tato bhajeta mam, my dear devotee, my dear sadhaka, please continue your worship of me. Prita, happily. Don't feel dejected, disgusted, because anartha nivritti is gradual only. Even though you might wish that all the anarthas go away immediately at once, but it will not go away like that. But that does not mean you should feel disheartened and depressed. Tato bhajeta mam prita. Continue your worship of me without succumbing to any kind of depression Shraddhalur, do not doubt the process. Dhridanishchaya, and follow the process with great determination. This is what Krishna says. So if you understand the process nicely, as a sadhaka, this anishtita bhajana kriya or unsteady devotional practice is very natural, while anartha nivritti is not yet complete. So one need not feel very, very deeply. One need not feel that, "Are, I am just in my third grade." Looking at the PhD level mathematics is so depressing. So he says, no. You don't have to get depressed. So you first study nicely for your third grade. Then you come to fourth grade. Study nicely for your fourth grade. Then you come to fifth grade. Study nicely for your fifth grade. Then you come to sixth grade. And like that, gradually you can come up and you will reach the higher stage. Where is the question of getting depressed? So it is natural. Anishtita Vajana Kriya, while anarthas are still there, our practice of bhakti will be unsteady only. That does not mean we don't do anything to overcome it. We do the needful. We take good association, and the association of Vaishnavas, we try to do the best. But that does not mean we get depressed. Otherwise, I don't think if Krishna keeps on telling unrealistic expectations from Vaishnavas, then definitely no one will be practicing bhakti now. So Krishna has very realistic expectations. Just that we should understand. Like, for example, we saw the meaning of this verse. Where is anything which can cause us any kind of depression here? He says, are we not worshipping Krishna? Are we not desiring to at least to constantly engage, associate with Krishna? Is it not our goal? And mayaveshya manaha means, as a goal, we have only Krishna in our mind. It does not mean 24 hours we are thinking of Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami, in explaining this verse, smartavya satatam vishnor vismartavyo na jatu chit. He explains satatam here does not mean every moment. Satatam means every day. And he gives an explanation. Because if satatam meant every moment, then it would be impossible for a sadhaka to follow, and he would lose his faith in the instructions of the scriptures if such an impossible instruction is given. So the shastras would never give instructions which are impossible for sadhakas. So one can accept sadhana according to their level of advancement. There is no need to get dejected or depressed, because one is definitely allowed to practice devotional service according to their level of advancement. So there is no need to feel dejected or depressed. Okay. Any other quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add before we move forward? Modes are like a thorn in the foot. That's what is disheartening, not the process of bhakti as such. Yeah, we have spent millions of lifetimes in this material world, and we have accumulated a lot of material impressions which are a combination of various modes. So it will take its own time to go away. We have accepted the process of bhakti and the cleansing is going on. It will take time. Like if someone is getting off a running train, even though he wants to stop, he cannot immediately stop. He will have to run with the train for a while to match that inertia and gradually slow down. That is very natural. So while we are transitioning from material life to spiritual life, the inertia of the modes will be there for some time. That is why Srila Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan nishchayat dairyat tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vrittehe shadbir bhaktir prasidyati. The six favorable items for the practice of bhakti or for progress on the path of bhakti are utsaha. One should be enthusiastic. Nishchaya. One should be very determined, with confidence. One should have confidence while practicing bhakti. And dhairya, patience. Enthusiasm should be there in the practice. Patience should be there while expecting the result of that practice. So, patience is a very critical thing. So, that is definitely very important. Okay. Sometimes I feel very low because of the anarthas. Can Krishna accept? Yeah, Krishna accepts the sincere purpose with which we are engaging in our devotional service. So, Krishna knows that because this jiva has spent unlimited number of lifetimes in the material world, there will definitely be the impurities in the form of modes and anarthas. So Krishna says, oh yeah, take your time. Sincerely practice and I guarantee you that gradually your anarthas will get subdued and you will become pure and you will be able to purely worship me. Krishna gives that assurance. Yes, Shiva Kumar.
Hare Krishna. So, Prabhu, I was just kind of looking at those slokas, Prabhu, in the context of this sloka, the 11, 27 and 8, Prabhu. Although the bhakti is the superior path than the other paths, we always have people, right, Prabhu, the ones who are not in a position to accept the superior path is what I kind of looked at those slokas, Prabhu, that they are in a position to accept only karma or jnana paths. So, my question, Prabhu, of these three category, Prabhu, the people who are kind of put in a situation to accept only jnana path seem to be very pitiable condition, Prabhu. So, my question is there any chance for them to reconsider their frustration with this world, their complete loss of hope with this world, that they are given a chance before they kind of exercise their option to go with that is what something that I wanted to hear from you.
Before they
choose the jnana path, because they are so much disgusted and completely lost the hope in this world, are they given a chance reconsider by any chance of accommodation in bhakti yoga before they kind of go ahead with that choice?
Well, it is not just disgust. Disgust is not a qualification for taking up to jnana. Detachment is. There is a difference between disgust and detachment. Disgust is another kind of attachment only. So the qualification for jnana is not disgust. The qualification for jnana is detachment. And that detachment comes through a proper practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, which cleanses the heart of the material vasanas. And when the material vasanas within the heart get cleansed, then they become qualified for jnana. So it's not just that people who are extremely frustrated with this material world, they become jnana yogis. No, that is not the case.
Okay.
So disgust is not the cause of, is not the qualification for jnana. Detachment is.
Okay.
And that detachment comes by proper practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So one cannot become qualified for jnana without practicing karma. It is not possible. And one who is either practicing karma or jnana can never consider bhakti as a choice if they don't come in touch with pure devotional service. And their prior practice of karma and jnana in itself will not give them any edge or qualification to come in touch with devotees and reconsider bhakti. It has to happen by itself. Whenever a devotee feels benevolently disposed towards that person, at that time, irrespective of whether he had been practicing karma or a jnana or yoga, or if he had been an outright materialist, if he is fortunate to have the association of Vaishnavas, irrespective of whatever may have been his material situation, he will get that sukriti, and when that matures, he will start practicing bhakti.
Okay. Prabhu, just one follow-up question, Prabhu. I have heard kind of the same point heard in few lectures that we should not be too much focusing on austerity. That will kind of make us lean towards the Jnanapath is something that I heard, Prabhu, in even in I think Bonaswamy lectures, few lectures. So my question, Prabhu, how come then we have Goswamis in Vrindavan who seem to be displaying very high degree of I don't know. I mean, just looking at the externals, Prabhu, looks to be very renounced in terms of their externals at least, but still having such attachment to love for Krishna, Prabhu.
There are two things: vairagya as a sadhana, and vairagya, which is a natural byproduct of spiritual advancement. These two are different. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayat Ahaitukam. So when one practices bhakti, automatically a kind of material detachment comes. So because of attachment to Krishna, automatically one's attachment to material objects become weaker and weaker and weaker. So what they are displaying is not a sadhana to please Krishna, but it is what they are displaying is something which is a natural byproduct of their exalted spiritual stature. So they are not practicing vairagya as a sadhana. The vairagya that is seen there is a natural byproduct of detachment, which is born out of a very exalted spiritual attachment that they have towards Krishna.
Thank you. This is very insightful. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, there is another question. For karma and jnana yogis, there is no such thing as neha vikrama nashosti. If they die, then before attaining perfection, is there nothing called as neha vikrama nashosti? Pratyavayona vidyate swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Well, does it apply to karma yogis and jnana yogis? Well, to some extent, yes, it does. Because if by practice of proper karma yoga, like of course, if it is sakama karma yoga, then or nishkama karma yoga, I mean, swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat cannot be told. Okay. But because if you little bit practice dharma, if only you little bit practice dharma, then for wherever you are not practicing, it is actually a dharma. And if you are practicing a dharma, it will lead to sins, accumulation of sins. And for dissolving those sins, you will have to go to hell. and you may get non-human species also. So for karma, you cannot say swalpam apyasya dharmasya. Little bit dharma I will follow, then I will not follow. It will not guarantee a human birth if it is karma. And similarly for jnana also. What do you mean little bit follow jnana and then give up the path of jnana? If you give it up, then he becomes a vantasi. So he becomes a fallen sannyasi. That is also not possible. Well, if he really becomes qualified, of course, for the yogi in the sixth chapter, Krishna says, Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati samaha shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. He says that he will get an opportunity to take birth in a family of rich and aristocratic people or Brahminical people, from where he can continue, from where he left. Yes, for yoga he says, but for karma this is not so true in one sense. For bhakti it is definitely true. Yeah. Anyways, okay. Oh, Mother Gail, when did you join? I didn't see you.
I snuck up on you. So
yes.
for a fallen sannyasi, I wonder what his destination is, or does it simply depend upon the way in which he fell? You know, what the sin was.
Well, here I hope we are not talking about the
the karma, the person who's following the, you know, the jnana path.
Yeah, the jnana path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then,
because for devotional, you know, you just, you know, I guess chant Hare Krishna and then just continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
on the path of jnana, if he has prematurely taken up to the path of jnana and then later realizes that that he was not actually qualified to do it, and let's say he gives up that sannyas, the repercussion is more of a social repercussion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the society ostracizes such a person. The social, response
implications.
The social implications are very hard to deal with. But if he kind of neglects it and tries to still follow the rules and regulations of his varnashram duties, you know, I guess I don't know the exact rules of the Dharma Shastras, how it exactly works, but I would guess that if he had prematurely taken up, then there must be some prayaschitta which he could do and then actually keep continuing the the Varnashrama rules properly till he attains complete purification of heart. I guess there must be some rules and some provisions for that. I don't think it would be so hopeless that of course the social implications are very difficult to deal with. But other than that, I am sure there must be some provision to rectify one's mistake and, you know, move forward. It cannot be an eternal damnation like that.
You know, one thing that just occurred to me is that, you know, Brahmacharya Ashram, although, I mean, I'm talking in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON, actually, it's almost, socially speaking, it's in India, right? It's seen almost like, you know, a sannyas kind of thing if you leave the Brahmacharya ashram, you know, even though it shouldn't be like that, but that social stigma is there if you leave the Brahmacharya ashram and decide that you want to enter the Grihastha ashram. You know, whereas in America, it's not like that at all, you know.
Yeah.
In India, it seems like Brahmacharya is practically seen like a sannyas ashram. You know, and I mean, I just think it's like kind of, not kind of, but it's like very sad and unfortunate, you know, for those who are in the Brahmacharya ashram, but it is not their nature to be lifetime Brahmacharyas, but because of societal pressure, they're like stuck, you know? And I know of cases like that, you know, where they are, it's extremely tragic, actually, you know, that they're not equipped for the Brahmacharya ashram, but because society regards it like a fall from sannyas, you know, they cannot enter the Grihastha ashram, although their nature requires that.
Okay.
Anyway, that's more like a comment, I guess.
Yeah. But things are changing because people are getting educated also. Societies are becoming more mature and they are learning to take things in a more balanced perspective, even in India right now. So it's not like before. Of course, it changes from community to community, you know, how the leadership approaches, how they educate the devotee community. You know, to a large extent, it depends on that. Otherwise, what you say is right, and it is what you have presented is verified truth. But the fact is that in many of the communities, the community is maturing, and they are getting properly educated, and there is more realistic understanding and expectations from each of the ashram, actually.
Oh, good news. Good news. Because my heart breaks for those who are in that position, you know.
That's why, I mean, in one sense, you know, there are certain things which I cannot exactly, the forum is not right to discuss many things, but maybe in some other forum, we could discuss certain things, but of course, definitely this is not the right forum to discuss certain things. It's there. There have been certain mistakes and there have been course corrections also. So of course, ours is an evolving society. It's just hardly 50 years old. And definitely, you know, we are learning from our mistakes as a society, and mature leadership are taking note of it and incorporating those course corrections. And the effects are there to be seen, actually. So I can definitely see that the society is maturing, and I feel that there is, I see hope. Yeah, at least in this direction, I definitely see hope.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay. Okay, I hope it is some question connected to the verse that we are discussing. Yes, Keshav.
Prabhuji, you're predicting me a lot. Yes.
No, if it's not, because we have, I think we have sufficiently discussed little off topics.
Yes.
So,
Yes,
yeah,
coming to the topic discussion only. No, no, Prabhuji, you are discussing with the Gyanis, and all you are discussing now, Prabhuji. Neha, Bikramana, Ashwati, and all we are discussing. For anyone, Prabhuji, even a Karma Yogi or Gyana Yogi, if they die before they complete the goal, it's not that they are not thinking that they are not sufficient, I mean, they are not eligible to do that, but sometimes they will die before the completing means definitely they will be given a chance, no Prabhuji, by the Lord, even
yeah.
for anyone, Karma Yogi even.
Yeah, Karma Yogi, yes. But let's say a Sakama Karma Yogi. So, if for all is Punya, he will get a favorable birth and all that. And for all is Papa, he will have to suffer.
Yeah, that is there, Prabhuji, but the goal, like he has not left the goal for some other reason, but his lifetime is over. So he will also start from where he, I mean, Sarvasichakriti like Bhagavan, he will give the what is to say, memory, no Prabhuji, to continue from next lifetime also.
Yeah, he will continue, but whether immediately from the next lifetime or not, we do not know.
Oh, that guarantee is not there for them, Prabhuji.
Yeah, because if they have committed lot of sinful activities because of their swabhava, they are unable to follow the Nishkama Karma Yoga process completely, and they have diverted from their this thing, then they are very much under
I'm not
the
talking
grip of
about diversion, Prabhuji. Someone sincerely following, but their lifetime over means like someone
Then
that
they
come to
can
the
continue.
conclusion. Yeah, that's what I'm asking, Prabhuji. Not diverting. Someone because the lifespan is only less, no, Prabhuji. So someone leaves and from next lifetime he
Of
will
course,
be
of course.
following, no, Prabhuji, from where he left. That
Definitely.
guarantee is there, no, Prabhuji, for everyone here.
That is
Yeah.
there.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay. Let us finally get back to the discussion. Okay. So now he is going to contrast, because he has Arjuna asked the question, Krishna directly answered the question in the very next verse, but now he is going to contrast it with what he is comparing it with, which is the impersonal path. He says, Yetvaksharam manirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragam achintyam cha kutastham achalam dhruvam संयम्येन्द्रियग्रामं सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः ये तु बट दोस हु पर्युपासते वर्षिप अनिर्देश्यम दि अननेम्ड अव्यक्तम द फॉर्मलेस एंटिटी सर्वत्रगम ऑल परवेडिंग इन स्पेस एंड टाइम अचिंत्यम इनकंसीवेबल कूटस्थम अनचेंजिंग कूटस्थम अचलम इज अनचेंजिंग ध्रुवम एटर्नल अक्षरम द ब्रह्मन इन कॉन्ट्रास्ट दोस हु वर्शिप द इम्पर्सनल ब्रह्मन विच इज काइंड ऑफ फॉर्मलेस अननेम्ड ऑल परवेडिंग इन स्पेस एंड टाइम एक्सेट्रा संयम्य इंद्रिय ग्रामम इंद्रिय ग्रामम इंद्रिय इज सेंसेस ग्रामम इज ऑल द सेंसेस संयम्य कंप्लीटली कंट्रोलिंग ऑल देयर सेंसेस बाय द प्रोसेस ऑफ ज्ञान योगा सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः लुकिंग ऑन ऑल थिंग्स इक्वली सर्वभूत हिते रताः And who are completely intent on the welfare of all, they prapnuvanti mameva. They attain me alone in the form of impersonal Brahman. Okay. Here, worship does not literally mean that they actually perform aarti and and all that. Here, worshipping means aspiring for. It does not literally mean that the impersonalist worship the Brahman like that. Okay. The impersonalist here refers to proper Jnana Yogis. Because he talks about, he's not talking about the Mayavadis. He's not talking about the Mayavadis. He's actually talking about proper Jnana Yogis. When he uses the word Paryupasate, they worship. Worship does not mean literally worshipping with aarti or worshipping the deity form like that. Here, worship means they aspire for it. That is their goal. Attaining that Brahman is their goal in that sense. Yetu aksharam anirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragam achintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam. These are the descriptions of Brahman. Inconceivable, all-pervading, formless, unnamed entity. Sanniyamya indriya gramam, completely subduing their senses. Sarvatra samabuddhaya, and looking at all things equally. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva svapakecha pandita samadarshina. That is the nature of one who has become qualified to practice Jnana Yoga. He sees the same soul as being present in everyone's heart. Sarvatra samabuddhaya sarvabhuta hiterataha. And they are also intent on the welfare of all. Te prapnuvanti mameva. Someone says, Kesho Priya Mataji, I want you to comment on this. Te prapnuvanti mameva. Me only, if literally translated. Now you see here, what is the translation? They attain me in the form of impersonal Brahman. I wish to hear your comments on this.
Prabhuji. Yeah, Prabhuji, it is like, it is for me, it is translated as impersonal Brahman here, Prabhuji.
Yeah, that's the point. So it's not very straightforward. Now you will say, Are, it is so clear, Mam Eva. Why is Vishnu Chakradhakur telling Mam Eva means it should be Krishna only, you cannot say Brahman. But here Vishwanath Chakradhakur himself is telling Brahman. So, the language
Krishna should
is
be
not...
still more clear, Prabhuji. He should have spoken whether it is impersonal feature or personal. He is allowing us to guess. That is the problem.
So, you mean to suggest that you have better intelligence than
Krishna? No, no, Prabhuji, not better intelligence. I am so unintelligent, so I want at least, if it is straightly said itself, I cannot understand. If Krishna is going to twist like this, Prabhuji, I mean to say that.
That is why we are not expected to be commentators of Bhagavad Gita.
Yes,
we are expected to read the explanation of the acharyas and understand the commentary. So, who is asking you to comment on the Bhagavad Gita or write an explanation of the Bhagavad Gita? You read the explanation given by the acharyas. Prabhupada has given, other Vaishnava acharyas have given.
Correct, Prabhuji.
So,
yeah, and the very next sloka is, it is very clear. Thank you, Prabhuji.
But those who worship the unnamed, formless entity, all pervading in space and time, the inconceivable, unchanging, eternal Brahman, completely subduing their senses, looking on all things equally, intent on the welfare of all, attain me alone in the form of impersonal Brahman. So, he says, those who worship my impersonal Swarupa known as Brahman are inferior because of their state of suffering. This the Lord states in two verses. Those who worship the Brahman, which is not possible to designate, anirdeshyam, unnamed. You know, what will you name it with? Okay. So, because it is avyaktam, it is without form or other qualities, sarvatragam, it is spread everywhere, achintyam, it is beyond logic, kutastam, it is extending over all time, achalam, it is devoid of increase or other change, and Dhruvam, it is eternal. So such people attain me in the form of impersonal Brahman. He says that they attain me because the Brahman is non-different from the Lord. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavanati Shabdite. So Amarakosh says that Kutastha means that which pervades time with one form. So he says that Te Prapnuvanti Mameva Sarva Bhuta Hite Rataha, like that. Then he says Kleshodikata Rastesham Avyakta Sakta Chetasam Avyakta Higatir Dukkam Deha Vadbir Avapyate. Avyakta asakta chetasam. Those who are attached to the impersonal realization, those who are attached to the impersonal realization, klesho adhikataras tesham, they encounter extreme difficulties. They encounter extreme difficulties. Avyaktahi gatihi, the unmanifest goal, Dukkam avapyate, it brings suffering, dehavadbir, to those who have bodies. The process is difficult, the goal is also difficult. The unmanifest goal brings suffering to those who have bodies. Kiloshana Chakadakur mentions here, this verse describes a little of their inferior position. Those who are attracted to only Brahman, avyakta asakta chetasam, who desire only realization of Brahman, undergo excessive difficulties in attaining it. Because by what means at all can something without qualities be made manifest? So, how is it even possible? You know, how would you realize something which has no qualities, no form, no anything, no name? That goal is attained by the jivas endowed with bodies only by undergoing great suffering. So Brahman realization is not an easy process. It is a very difficult process. So the senses have the power for particular knowledge such as sound, not for something which does not possess particular qualities. Right? So, the senses can experience only that which has some qualities, like, you know, the ears can listen to sound. Therefore, stopping of the senses is necessary for those who desire knowledge of the impersonal without particular qualities. So, one should give up or stop the functioning of the senses to realize impersonal. But stopping the senses is like stopping rivers. Stopping the senses is very difficult. Therefore, Sanat Kumar says, Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gratitamud gratayanti santaha tadvanna ritta matayo yatayo piruddha sroto ganastamaranam bhaja vasudevam. He says, Tam Vasudevam Bhaja, worship that Vasudeva who is Aranam, who is the shelter. Yat Pada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Bhaktya, by devotion to his lotus toes, possessing ever increasing beauty, the devotees untie the knot of false ego filled with impressions of karma. Karmashayam Gratitamud Gratayanti Santaha. Tadvat, which the Rikta matayo yatayaha, which the foolish sannyasis, sroto ganaha, who try to stop the senses flowing like a river, narudda. They cannot untie. Okay. So to stop the senses, the functioning of the senses, is very difficult. But bhakti involves engagement of the senses. It is an easy process. The path of jnana, it involves disengagement of the senses. It's a very difficult process actually. And further he says, Krutsro Mahaniha Bavarnava Maplavesham Shadvarga Nakrama Sukena Titirishanti Tattvam Harer Bhagavato Bhajaniya Mangrim Krutvodupam Vyasanamuttara Dustararnam. They say, this is the next verse, the four Kumaras in their message to Prithu Maharaj, they say, Mahan Krutsraha, there is great suffering, Aplavesham, for people who are lacking a boat. Iha Bhavarnavam, to cross this ocean of samsara, there is great suffering for people lacking a boat. Why? What is there in this ocean? Shadvarga Nakram. The ocean is filled with the crocodiles of the six senses. Since they desire to cross, but they cannot. Titirishanti. Asukena. Using a difficult process of jnana, they cannot cross. So, trying to cross the ocean of samsara through the process of jnana is trying to swim across the ocean of samsara. It's practically impossible. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. But he says, Tattvam Uttara. Therefore, you cross Vyasanam Dustara Aranam. Dustara Aranam. You cross over this ocean of samsara, which is very difficult to cross. Harer Bhagavato Angrim Udupam Kritva. Udupam Kritva, making a boat out of Harer Bhagavato Angrim, the lotus feet of Krishna, which is bhajaniyam, which is worthy of worship. So, like that. So, furthermore, even the goal of impersonal Brahman, which is attained by such suffering, is attained only by having a mixture of bhakti, mixture with bhakti. You know, by pure jnana, without the element of bhakti, one cannot attain Brahman. There must be some element of bhakti through which one worships the personal form of the Lord. If one outright does not accept the personal form of the Lord and does not worship the personal form of the Lord, then mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa rakshasi masurin chaiva prakritim mohinim shrita yenya ravindaksha vimukta maninas vayastabhavada vishuddha buddhaya aruhya krichrena param padam tatah patantyado anadrata yushmadangrayah. You know, they do not attain Brahma Jyoti by not accepting a personal form at all. Yes, one's goal may be the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, but one must have that element of bhakti in their practice. Element of bhakti means acceptance of personal form and some sort of worship of the personal form of the Lord. Without bhakti to the Lord, the worshippers of the impersonal Brahman obtain only suffering and not Brahman. That is not possible. Brahma says, Tesham asau kleshalayeva shishyate nanyadyata stulatushavagatinam. So, it is like beating empty husk. You know, they will not get any result out of it. Tesham asau kleshalayeva shishyate nanyadyata stulatushavagatinam. Like that. So, yes. Yeah, it is like beating empty husks. Yes, true. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask. Yes, Shubhangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes,
though it is very clearly mentioned that Bhakti Yoga is superior, but the problem is that, okay, now once you have the, like ISKCON, gives very scientific approach. Do this, do this, do this, and this will happen. So, I'm so glad actually. The reason I am following Bhakti Yoga is because I can see that, okay, these are the ways to do bhakti, and especially the SSR lecture cleared so many doubts, and then these ABCD, how it association is there, book reading, chanting, how one should follow that. So practically how to apply that Bhagavad Gita, that only ISKCON is doing, I mean, according to my knowledge. So that's why the Bhakti Yoga is, I'm able to practice Prabhuji. Otherwise, I know people who knows all 700 shlokas, but the problem is they don't know what to do after that. And if they don't know ISKCON, they cannot further progress into Bhakti Yoga, even if they know Bhakti Yoga is superior. That's what my knowledge is progressing.
Yes, thank you, Madhu. Thank you. Yes, Kesho Priya Madhu.
Prabhuji, in this discussion, Prabhuji, is that our acharyas are to de-glamorize it? Are they telling this because they also they have their own goal, no, Prabhuji? So they won't feel it like they don't want to get into any attachment, either spiritual or material. So they just want the goal to be Brahman. So they will have their own way in an enjoyment, no, Prabhuji? Is it just our acharyas are highlighting that it's very, very difficult? Is it like that?
No, it is given.
Yes, Prabhuji.
It is directly given. The verse is saying that.
Okay. So, but so in spite of that, they are trying hard to go to that stage, Prabhuji. So.
Yeah, but they will read it in a slightly different way.
That's fine. That's the point. Okay. Prabhuji, because there are some people are trying also, no, but it's not that they're not
making. Most people are trying that only.
Mm.
Very few people are trying for establishing a personal relationship with Krishna.
Mm. And as you always say, Mayavadis never ever go to Brahman, and Vishnu Chakra Chakur is given. They reach only suffering and not Brahman. It's very, very nice. That line is so obvious it is. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
Did you just say that most people are trying for impersonal liberation? Did you say that? Just
most
now?
People are, yeah, most people are attracted to the impersonal goal only, you know.
Mm.
Well, I mean, most means most who are most of those who are
transcendentalists, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just find it so surprising, actually, that that has more attraction than a relationship with a personal form. It just seems like there's no competition at all.
Well, there is a reason why you think that way.
You're going to say because of my association, right?
Yeah, because of your Sukriti.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, you know, yes, that is there, but, you know, my I think it's a combination maybe of that and my conditioning, you know, because, you know, as I've told you in the past, you know, I have such a deep need for intimacy. You know, by my conditioning, I guess, that, you know, I find the idea of striving for, you know, impersonalism so, yeah, I'm so averse, actually, to that. That's why I was surprised when I heard you say that most people are striving for that, because it's so antithetical to my own nature. Anyway.
Okay, maybe discuss about it maybe sometime. A little bit more. This needs a little bit more discussion. Maybe sometime we'll do it.
Yeah, actually, the reason why I had raised my hand was because it was actually to make like a, I think it was more like a comment that, you know, when you were talking about how practically impossible it is to shut down all the senses, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, we're in the notion of the senses wanting to connect with its sense objects. And I feel like the emblem of that that we popularly hear about is his name, Subari Muni or Subari Muni? How do you say?
Saubari Muni.
Saubari Muni. Yeah, who was, you know, in the submerged in the depths of the ocean or something for like, was it thousands of years? And all he had to do was see two fish copulating for his austerities to be finished.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, if somebody of that caliber was actually a failure, then why should, I don't know why anybody else would have any hope. You know, he's telling us that this is impossible.
Yeah, yeah. It's not impossible. It's very difficult.
Yeah, but, you know, especially for people of today's qualifications or lack
of.
Oh,
yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. No doubt.
Like,
not in the age of Kali. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So I think we should pause here. So it's almost time. And today is Friday. Yes, finally, Sachi Pran Prabhu does not want to let us go 2 minutes early. Yes, Prabhu.
In Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, Padmanya Dana Vijana Rupa Tapasana Teja Parayakala Kavadu Buddhi.
Yeah.
So that's very clearly one man defines the supremacy of Bhakti in all other yogas. Huh?
No, not that verse. It says that by any of these material qualifications, one does not become qualified to worship Krishna. So that's what that verse says.
So that knowledge, okay. that knowledge he's talking about, that knowledge is of material knowledge.
Yeah, he says that to worship Krishna or to please Krishna, it is possible only by bhakti. That's what he says. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayotapaya. Otherwise, by any other material qualification, you cannot please Krishna. That's what that verse says.
Mm. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So, for the next 4 days, it's all free time. You know, we don't have, of course, Saturday, Sunday, we anyways don't have. And Monday, Tuesday also because I'll be traveling. So, it's all fun time for all of you. Fun means you can catch up with whatever leftover sessions that you have. And please stay tuned. We are going to launch 2 new courses. Either today, tomorrow, sometime we will be launching 2 new courses. So, stay tuned. And there are some prerequisites for these courses. And you may have to spend some time completing those prerequisites. I will send you the material which you need to hear to accomplish the prerequisites. So please stay tuned. And we will meet again on Wednesday for those of you. Of course, the morning japa sessions will continue every day. But other than that, the classes we will resume on Wednesday. Of course, Monday, Tuesday, you will have Srila Prabhupada's purport session by Radha Pramodho. Hopefully, I think he is there, so he will take. Okay, I think we'll pause here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.